Good morning. Man, it's great to be here. Whew. What a week. This has been a week like no other for me. My voice is a little bit weaker this morning, and I apologize in advance for having to bring my little bottle of water up here. So if I have to partake of that, it's just water, really. For those of you that may not know, I had a little bit of surgery on Monday, and spent a few days at the house just kind of recuperating. But I'm getting stronger and getting better, and it's all good. But I'm not quite there yet, so I've got a stool behind me. If I have to sit down, I might do that in a minute. Last week, we talked about thinking outside the box, right? And this is a box here, in case you didn't recognize it. I was going to write on the front box, but I thought, well, you know what? Our folks aren't stupid. They can tell that's a box. Sometimes we get stuck in a box, right? We talked about last week that you know, we find ourselves inside the box sometimes. Inside the box in our thinking, inside the box in our relationships, inside the box, and you know, in religion and church. And what we don't really understand and realize is that sometimes when we're inside the box, we're kind of bound up. We're not able to do all that maybe God has planned for us to do because we're inside the box. And what I mean by that, I'm just talking about rules that we've put in place. Rules that we as man, you know, have kind of set around. And as I was last week after church, Rebecca and I was talking. She was talking to me. She said, you know, not only does being inside the box protect us, okay, because it keeps us from, you know, it's safe and it's secure in here. This is very familiar inside the box. This is the way I've always done it. I know how to do this, and I can do it well. And as long as I stay within this realm, I'm cool, and I can handle that. And it's safe and protected. But you know what else it does? It keeps us from being approachable. Somebody wants to come up to me, and they come up and bounce upon these walls, and it's like, you're not approachable. So that's something to think about. Not only does the box, sometimes we feel protected in it, we're also isolated in it. And what our encouragement last week was to step out of the box. Step out of the box because God is working outside the box. God's not contained in the box. There's not a box big enough to contain my God. Think outside the box. Our verse was Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, and I'm going to use that same verse again today for our focal point. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him who is able to do what? Immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. So the challenge last week was to ask. And imagine, that doesn't happen inside the box. Why? Because it's confined. It's familiar. It's what we know, what we've always done. And when he says to ask or imagine, that's where we have to step out and say, show me what I can imagine, God. And what will he do? He'll do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. So that's kind of where we were last week, and then where we're going to pick up this week. Let me tell you what that verse tells me is that God has bigger dreams for me than I do. He says, ask and imagine your dreams, and I can do immeasurably more. That tells me that God has bigger dreams for me than I do. So dream big. Dream big. It's okay to dream big. How do we allow, we're going to kind of get to some nuts and bolts. How do we allow our dreams to become reality? Isn't that what we all want to know? How do we allow our dreams to actually become reality? Number one, for those of you taking notes, number one, open up your mind. Open up your mind. Get out of the box. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 15 through 16 says, "The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have," what? "The mind of Christ." Did you know that if you have come into a relationship with Jesus Christ by trusting in Him, by putting your faith and trust in Him, allowing Him to come into you and forgive you of your sins, first and foremost, and save you for all of eternity, did you know that along with that comes a very special gift? The Holy Spirit comes in and resides inside of you, and you have the mind of Christ. That's not something I made up. That's straight out of the Bible. You have, if you're a believer, you have the mind of Christ. That's awesome. Don't let anybody tell you you don't have a good mind. Folks, you have the mind of Christ. It doesn't get any better than that. The box is not big enough to hold God's plan for you. I believe that. Imagine for a second. What would happen if you took what was available to you and you yielded yourself to the mind of Christ and began to think God-sized thoughts? Remember the question I asked last week? Do you remember? What would you do for God if you knew you wouldn't fail? What would you do for God if you knew you wouldn't fail? If you knew that there was no chance of you failing, what would you do for God today? Wow. There's a dream. That's a dream, folks. Ask it and see if God doesn't do immeasurably more than you ask. I'll tell you this. Those things, those dreams, when I ask you that question, what would you do for God if you knew you couldn't fail? Those dreams will never happen unless you step out. They'll never happen in your life unless you step out. You have to open your mind and allow God to reveal to you His purpose. You see, do y'all believe that God works in your subconscious mind? I believe that. Does your subconscious mind influence you? And let me ask you this. How many of you have ever woken up in the middle of the night and had to go to the bathroom? Okay. Is it your conscious mind that tells you to do that, or your subconscious mind that tells you to do that? I mean, when I wake up out of a dead sleep and I got to go to the bathroom, that's my subconscious mind telling me to get up and go do that. That's how God works sometimes, in our subconscious mind. And we need to pay attention to that, look at it, listen to it, internalize that, believe it, and step out and put action to it. You have to step out. You have to open your mind and allow God to reveal to you His purpose, to tell you. You know, I think I said last week that if you don't have a good imagination, I really don't have a good imagination. But I'm asking God for it. And I'm imagining it for it. And God's going to do immeasurably more. He's going to show me how to imagine. There you go. God, I don't have an imagination. Show me how to imagine. And He will. He'll show you how to imagine. Now, basically what we're talking about is putting feet to it, right? Okay? Once you find that dream, once you find that, you get that imagination, something comes into your mind, and it's from God, and you say, okay, well, now we have a choice. Do we just suppress it? Then we say, oh, my goodness, that is so out there. People are going to think I'm nuts. They're going to think I'm crazy. That's not accepted. That's too far out of the box. Or are we going to say, you know what? I'm going to try this because I feel that God is leading me in this, and I'm gonna check it out. Do we step out? So number two, we study it. Number one was we open up our mind. Number two is we study it. We begin to put action to the dream. Don't make decisions based on ignorance, though. How many of you have ever decided to go on a trip? Yes? Okay. How many of the, I'm talking about a trip, like a week-long trip going and, you know, how many of you ever just woke up one morning and got in the car and said, okay, I'm going on my week-long trip. Haven't planned, haven't packed, haven't done anything, I'm just going to go. How many of you ever done that? A few of you. Real successful trips? I don't know. Is that, check the successfulness of those kind of trips. If I'm going to go on a trip, and I know I'm going to be gone, and I know I'm going to be gone a while, I'm going to make preparations. I'm going to pack my medicines. I'm going to pack at least an extra or two pair of underwear for my whole trip, right? I'm going to pack, no, y'all, come on, you laugh because you know it's true. I'm going to pack something that just in case I might need it. And we always end up taking way more stuff than we ever use on the trip. Am I the only one? Oh, Floyd says Barbara does that too. Okay. We do that. I mean, we make preparations. I plan out, okay, there's more than one way to get there. How's the best way to get there? Okay, I plan that out. Make sure I have enough money, you know, to buy the gas or whatever, provisions for food. We do that. We study it. We make a plan. We do that. We put effort into doing that. We don't just jump off haphazardly. Well, the same is true. We don't make decisions based on ignorance. But don't shoot it down before you check it out either. Pray about it. Remember what our verse said? Ask. Ask and see if God doesn't do immeasurably more. Ask God to show you how He wants you to accomplish this mission. Maybe God's asking you or telling you to do something in the church. Maybe He's asking you to do something in the community. And maybe you don't really understand how. Maybe you're like me and don't have a real good imagination. You can ask. You pray about it. You study. And I'm going to tell you this. Somewhere, somehow, somebody else has probably done something kind of similar to it. You ask them. He wants to show you more than you could ever ask or imagine, y'all. Do you believe it? The Bible says it. Number three, seek advice. I just touched on this a minute ago. Seek advice. But there's a caveat here. There's something I want to make clear. Seek good advice. Did y'all know that there's good advice and bad advice? Just because somebody tells you something doesn't make it good advice, does it? Seek good advice. Seek good advice. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 9 says that there is nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. But sometimes there are newer ways of accomplishing the same task. Sometimes they're better, sometimes they're not. Okay? And I'll admit that. Sometimes just because it's new doesn't make it better. But sometimes and oftentimes a new approach, a new look is sometimes more efficient, more effective. Someone somewhere has thought about it, heard about it, or seen somebody else do it. So search them out. Search out that good advice. Number four is establish priorities. Okay, let me rerun through this. Number one, open up your mind. Study it, seek advice, and establish priorities. And here's what I mean by that. You have to decide which is priority in your life. Is it the priority in my life to fit in like everybody else around me? To do those things that everybody else is doing around me. Remember what I told us last week? How many of us want good things for our kids? I mean, great things. I want my kids to do great things. Those things aren't inside here. Remember? Yay, son! I want you to be average, ordinary, a regular Joe. That's what I dream for you. No, we don't want that. We want our children to go beyond this. But yet we have to ask ourselves, what about us? It's not too late for us. I don't care how old you are, even if you're old and like Warren. You bet. That doesn't matter. You're never too old. You've heard me say 100 times, as long as there's breath in you, God has a plan for you. And I believe that with all my heart. So the question is, my priorities, do I want to fit in or do I want to lead out? Don't let anyone tell you that it has to be done the way it has always been done. Now, some things work really well And maybe some things don't need to be messed with. But that doesn't apply across the board to everything, I guarantee it. I mean, think about that. Was the horse good to get to town, you know, 100, 150 years ago? Absolutely. I mean, if you didn't have a horse, you had to walk, right? What about today? Is the car better to get to town than the horse? Especially in the summer when it's 110 degrees outside and the air conditioner works in the car, right? That's right. And who knows, but 50 years from now, there's going to be a better way. I don't know. Do we still get to town? Yes. Is it maybe a little more effective and a little more efficient? Sometimes. Some things are just fine like they've always been. Take this, for example, vanilla ice cream. How many of you like vanilla ice cream? My father, if I took him to, is it Baskin-Robbins? Baskin-Robbins, 31 flavors, okay? If I took him to two Baskin-Robbins that had 62 flavors, I don't know how that would work, but if I took him to where he could have any flavor he would want, you know what he'd ask for? Vanilla. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with vanilla. Vanilla is the number one selling flavor in America. Did you know that? It is. But somewhere along the line, somebody said, I wonder what would happen if I put some chocolate in there. That guy's my friend. That's right. Somewhere somebody said, let me try something else and see if it works. Let me think outside the box a little bit. Let me put some chocolate in there. And guess what? Some people really like that. Some people came along later and said, you know what? Let me take some fruit. How about some strawberry or some peaches? Peaches and cream. Oh, then some pecans, right? You know, pecan praline stuff. I mean, come on, people, that was outside the box, right? But it's good stuff. It's good stuff. It's not necessarily better than something else, but it's another way. It's another avenue. Did you know that we need fresh ideas? We need fresh ideas. Did you know that everything we're experiencing today was an idea at one point? Everything you're experiencing and participating in today was an idea. This building didn't exist at one point, right? Somebody decided to build the building. They built the building. And it was facing y'all. The congregation was turned facing that way, right? The podium was up at that end over there. Somebody had an idea. Why don't we flip that? So they did. They flipped it. Somebody had an idea. Let's put pews in here. Let's make them red pews and red carpet. And somebody at some point said, you know what? How about some air conditioning? Yeah, air conditioning's good. Heating. Lights. All that stuff. Those were ideas that somebody came up with. Let me ask you a question. Whose idea are you going to run with? The one that sticks the church in a box? Sticks your spiritual life in a box? Puts limits on what God can do for you and what you can do for God? Or do you want to catch God's vision and be amazed at what He can do for you? What He can do in you and through you? That's part of being outside the box, y'all. Number five. Evaluate the cost. Now, Michelle, I've not been giving you my notes to my sermons in advance. And you haven't been giving me your notes in advance. But it's so, some people might call it coincidence, how things are kind of lining up between the children's sermon and my sermon so many times. Talk about the rocks crying out and over. I mean, this has happened several times. That's not a coincidence in my book, folks. That's God saying to me, you know, this is my message. This is what people need. This is what I need to get out. From young to old. It's amazing. I'm overwhelmed, actually, this morning. I'm sitting over there just with goosebumps and almost started crying. I don't even know why. And then man, it's just been a great day. Been a great day. Evaluate the cost. Kind of just following along with what Michelle said. Proverbs 20, verse 25 says this. It is a trap for a man to dedicate something rashly and only later consider his vows. How many times has that happened today? It is a trap for a man to dedicate something rashly and only later consider his vows. A lot of marriages today, It's sad to say, but the truth is a lot of marriages find themselves in that box. You know, they've rashly gone into something, dedicated something unto God, right? That's what marriage is. And then only later went, oh, wow, what have I gotten into? What have I done? I'll tell you, this week, I had surgery. I had stomach surgery. I had part of my stomach removed in an effort to lose weight. It's weight loss surgery. And I've known this. I've studied it. I've been involved in this process for a few years now, but recently, the last 8 months, intensively involved in this process. And I knew what I was getting into and all that. After the surgery, Rebecca can tell you, after I left the hospital, I came home, I thought to myself, oh my gosh, what have I done? What have I done? I made a commitment, right? I went into something. Now, I didn't do it rashly. I did these things. I studied it. I did all that stuff. But still, the weight of it hit me. Now, the where we are, a lot of folks, they just jump ship. They take off. But you have to evaluate the cost. What's it going to cost me to be healthier, thinner, better looking? Oh, man, I can't. Can't y'all just wait for that? I mean, I'm going to be good looking one day. But it's going to cost me something. I mean, it cost me financially. It's costing me. This is what my meals have consisted of this week. This and chicken broth and sugar-free Jell-O. But let me tell you, because I've studied it, because I've set priorities, because I sought advice, because I opened up my mind, I'm going to be better off for it. It may not see as much of me. You get it? As much of me. But you may see me longer because of this. Evaluate the cost. Don't be haphazard. Now, in following Christ and in following what his plans are for us, stepping outside the box, y'all, I mean, that's, come on. When you step outside the box, that's out of the norm. That's out of the regular. That's out of, the way it's always been done. There's going to be some people that question that. It may cost you your reputation. That's something you need to evaluate. Are you willing to allow that, to sacrifice your reputation, at least what some people think your reputation is, to accomplish what God has in store for you? Things like this may happen. You mean to tell me that you're out of school and you're out on your own, and you're still going to wait till you're married to have sex? Come on. Nobody does that these days. Everyone does it. How about this one? You mean you're not coming to my Super Bowl party? Not just because the Super Bowl's coming up. You're not coming to my Super Bowl party just because I'm serving alcohol? Come on, I didn't know you're turning into one of those kind of people. Your reputation may be at stake, folks. Don't let someone else shape your dreams, though. If it's the dream that God's given you, do these things. Study it. Evaluate it. But run with it. Go with it. I'll tell you this, and what Michelle just said a while ago. Count the cost and commit and ask, is it worth it? And I assure you, it's always worth it when it's a God-given dream. Every single time. Plan for problems. Plan for problems, but not for failure. Okay, don't plan for failure, but there will be obstacles. There will be opposition. You can expect that. You have a strong enemy in this world. Did you know that? The Bible tells us that Satan, the old devil, he roams around like a roaring lion to seek whom he can devour. His only plan for us is to steal, kill, and destroy. He's a crafty animal. But let me tell you what. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. There's a song about that. It's a good song. Greater is he that is in me than he's in the world. the contest, the battle has already been won. The victory is ours. Number six, my last point. Let me review. Open up your mind. Get out of the box. Number two, study it. Number three, seek advice. Number four, establish priorities. Okay? What's your priority? You're going to fit in or lead out? Number five, evaluate the cost. And number six, be willing to take risks. Be willing to take risks. Man's visions have all the details worked out. Let me tell you, David, when y'all are building drill bits down there, these big old, some of them are this big around for drilling down in the earth. And somebody's come up with a design on that thing, right? They've studied it. They've done all these things. They've got it figured out. They know just how within fractions of an inch or millimeters or however they measure down there, they know exactly how they want this thing to go because they know how it's going to work. Let me tell you something. That's measurable. They've measured it. Is that what our verse said? God wants to do measurably stuff for you. No. God, His visions are broad, and they are immeasurable. Immeasurable. You can't measure them. That's what God wants to do for you. That's what God wants to do in you. That's what God wants to do through you. Be willing to take risks. When you step out and think outside the box, quote, good Christians, okay, will respond like people in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verses 13, actually, I think, is where I started. Did I put that? Yeah. Some, however, made fun of them and said they've had too much wine. These people are drunk. They're crazy. They're acting all not like we normally do it around here. They're drunk. And Peter steps up and he says, oh, these men are not as drunk as you suppose. Or, excuse me, these men are not drunk as you... There's a difference. One little word. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. I love that. It's like, are you kidding me? It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. It's not even drinking time yet. These men are not drunk like you think they are. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this was spoke what was spoken to you by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. It just goes on. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below. Man. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That wasn't in there. I just kept reading. It's just too good to stop. But just know this. When you take a risk, when you step out, there may be good Christians, maybe even in this very room, that tell you, are you crazy? You been drinking? Are you on drugs? That's out there. That's not how we always have done things. That's different. That's whoo. But let me tell you something. When God's involved, you're going to find it outside the box. God is not calling you to blend in, to go unnoticed, to do all these things that we always do mindlessly just because that's the way we do it. That's not what God's calling you to do. Are you going to voluntarily remain stuck in the box in what you know and are comfortable with and with what you can figure out? Or are you ready to step out into immeasurably more? I don't know about you. I want to be where there's immeasurably more. Immeasurably more than I can ask or imagine. Some of you may be here this morning. You may be saying, I accepted Jesus. I came and I walked the aisle and I prayed a prayer. I got baptized. And now all I really need to do is just come to church, and just kind of coast on in. And I'll tell you something. I was reading a book yesterday. I was sitting out in my chair. And the author of this book, a former pastor down in Houston, a very well-known pastor, John Bisogno from Houston's First Baptist Church, he said this comment, and I wrote it down because it just struck me. He said, "Faith alone saves, but the faith that saves is not alone." We are saved by faith alone, but when we're saved by that faith, it doesn't come all by itself. It comes with us a compelling. We're compelled to do something. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about taking what's in our heart, moving it up into our mind, and putting it into action, even if it's outside the norm. When Christ saves us, the Holy Spirit moves in, begins a transformation. Let me tell you something. If you have met Christ, you are no longer the same. You cannot be the same. If you're still the same today as you were before you knew Christ, then something's happened. I can't tell you, but maybe you need to ask yourself some serious questions. Do I know Christ? Because if you're the same, then either Christ is not strong enough or the Bible's not true, because the Bible tells me that we are a new creature. We're transformed by the renewing of our minds. If you think you don't need to do anything, you need to ask yourself some serious questions. Matthew 7. I don't know if I put that scripture up there or not. Matthew 7, verse 21. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." The Bible's pretty clear that someday, on that day when we stand before Christ, some of them are going to say, "Lord, Lord." It goes on and said, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do all these good things? And Jesus is going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you. Sorry. Just stuff doesn't cut the mustard." "Depart from me, I never knew you." Those words are going to be the worst words, I think, that some quote good Christians, and I use that very loosely, because obviously if he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you," then these people were not Christians, because they didn't follow up didn't allow their faith to become real in their lives. It was just going through the motions. Action has to follow belief. I believe that. Action is this: asking and imagining and expecting big things. My God is big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. Isn't that right, kids? My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do for you. Sorry. I'm the biggest kid in the room. But I'm dwindling fast. I don't know where you are this morning, folks, but let me just say this. Being inside the box, there are good things inside the box. Okay? There's some good things inside the box. But guess what? God has immeasurably more waiting for you.